This is special coverage from WBUR Boston. I'm Tom Ashbrook. Last year, the New Philharmonia Orchestra, along with the Newton Choral Society, decided to start a tradition. In an effort to build bridges during the holiday seasons of Christmas, Hanukkah, and Ramadan, they would gather, along with local children's choirs, to form a group of intercultural, interreligious, and intergenerational musicians to celebrate the holiday season. As plans were being put in place for this year's show, the events of September 11th unfolded, the concert suddenly took on new meaning, and the work of scheduling, rehearsing, and refining took on special significance. We attended this year's concert on December 9th at the First Baptist Church in Newton, Massachusetts, and talked with Executive Director of the New Philharmonia Orchestra, Adrian Hartzell, and its conductor, Ronald Knudsen. Welcome, Ronald Knudsen.
Hi.
It's good to have you in today.
Great to be here.
And welcome, Adrian Hartzell.
Greetings.
So we're looking back and enjoying today the concert that you did for the holidays, bringing together songs from the Christian tradition, the Jewish tradition, and poetry being chanted from the Islamic tradition. And we're really interested to hear how that worked. Ronald Knudsen, this is the second year in a row that the New Philharmonia has brought together this combination of performance at the holidays?
Yes, it is. Our original purpose was to try and help people interrelate from different ethnicities and different beliefs through music. And, of course, there's a great history of religious music in the Christian world, in the Hebrew world, but not necessarily in the Muslim world. And to bring these all together under one auspice is quite exciting and very interesting project.
And Adrian Hartzell, I guess this year especially, in the wake of September 11th and all the emotion and questioning that's gone on since then.
Yes, indeed. I think the concert sort of took on a life of its own in that there were so many concerns from so many people and from all walks of life and all communities that we worked together to build one world, that we really put tremendous effort into this and had three different schools, kids of all different backgrounds and traditions performing with us, and the adult chorus and the full symphony orchestra, so that it was a huge undertaking and feeling an expression of celebration and joy and prayers and meditation, all those things sort of wrapped up in 1 hour and 15 minute long program.
Enjoy a lot of that music this hour. Ronald Knudsen, take us just from the top. You began with the Christmas Polonaise, and this is a rather traditional Christmas melody.
Yes, it is. It was a piece from an opera called Christmas Eve by Rimsky-Korsakov, and it was written in 1874, and the opera itself, the text of it, was written by a fellow named Gogol. And this one piece is probably one of maybe three or four that have really survived and been kept going. And I think it's a very engaging, warm, friendly piece.
Chance you had to interact with the performers here, but is it unusual for performers to go across this range, or is this something quite within all their experience to be across the range of songs out of these different traditions?
Well, from the Choral Society, who presented those two a cappella pieces, I think it's fairly traditional for them to cross between the various religious styles. However, there probably is a significantly more choral music written out of the Western cultures in the Christian tradition than there is coming from the Hebrew tradition. Although the Hebrew music I find hauntingly beautiful, I think there's a, and with Christmas being a more profound holiday than Hanukkah, and particularly at this time of year, there's a great deal more significant Christian holiday music.
The concert, you soon got to Adon Olam. Talk to me about that piece, and then as a musician, how do you feel these things mixing and melding in the concert hall?
To make them mix and meld is not a problem, because I think everyone comes to such a concert with an openness, and it's just terribly interesting to feel the different moods and so on. The Adon Olam is really a prayer. It's not necessarily a Hanukkah piece, but it is a prayer, and the text of it is praise of the God. The progression of the program itself from beginning to end is there a lot of twists and turns, but they all seem to somehow relate, and the audience reaction to each thing, I think, was very strong.
At a musical level, just looking at these two traditions first, mm-hmm. the Christian musical tradition, mm-hmm. especially in the Christmas music, and the Jewish musical mm-hmm. tradition, how do you feel that the coloring of these two are similar? How are they different? Can you make any broad generalizations?
To the Christian ear, I think the Hebrew sounds are more sort of mysterious and unfamiliar.
Less evident in popular music.
Yes.
And yet there have been so many Jewish composers that popular music is informed in many ways by exactly that tradition.
Yeah, absolutely. But it is not necessarily thematically from that persuasion. I think the Hebrew people that are listening to our standard Christian music are much more used to it because it's everywhere, but I think there's an openness in the ear of all the people in the audience so that those who are comfortable and familiar with something are balanced by those who are being surprised and a little bit of wonderment there.
Adrian Hartzell, we know that when musicians are on stage that they've got a job to do, but could you also feel a special quality of emotional resonance this year in the wake of 9/11?
I think everybody was just very focused on this concert and on projecting a really unified and positive view towards the future through various different styles, those of celebration, those of great pensiveness, thoughtfulness, mm-hmm. reflection. And the Choral Society was very focused on their harmonies and pulling everything together with great precision to really communicate a solemn message, which was then to be contrasted later with other more upbeat sounds.
moments, and when you come to the Messiah, Handel's Messiah, could you feel the events of the fall somehow being translated through that performance?
Well, the Hallelujah Chorus especially is all but a universal piece. It's a praise of God and could be adapted to anyone's belief. So I think it's a way to bring forward your feelings, whatever they are, about 9/11 or whatever else that is heavy on your minds and in your spirit.
A great song to the glory of God.
Yes, whoever he is, or wherever.
From whatever
he is.
Tradition.
That's right.
Holiday concert after a short break. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is special coverage from WBUR Boston. I'm Tom Ashbrook.
These are the first few verses of the Quran, the holy book of Muslims. This is also called the heart of the Quran. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.
This Christmas, we're presenting to you a holiday concert of the Newton Philharmonia Orchestra and the Newton Choral Society, along with several children's groups, performed on December 9th at the First Baptist Church in Newton, Massachusetts. This second annual concert recognized the celebrations of Christmas, Hanukkah, and Ramadan in an effort to build bridges in a troubled time. We're joined in the studio by the New Philharmonia Orchestra's executive director, Adrian Hartzell, and conductor, Ronald Knutson. But first, I want to bring in Zeba Jaffrey of the Islamic Masumin Center in Hopkinton, Massachusetts, who organized the Ramadan presentation of the concert. Hi, Zeba Jaffrey.
Hi.
Thanks for joining us.
You're very welcome.
From your Islamic center, there were young people of quite a range in ages. who were chanting, I guess is the right word, Islamic poetry. Is that right? Could you describe who performed and what they performed?
Sure. They were the youth group of our community center and the senior class of our Sunday school. And they were chanting, they were reciting poetry. The first one was done by the boys who did the Anat, N-A-A-T, mm-hmm. and that's in praise of our Prophet Muhammad. And the next performance was done by a group of girls. It's called Hamd, which is in praise of Allah. And they were talking about how great God is and how thankful one should be. Rasulan, 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 Rasul, Rasulan, 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 Rasul, Ya Husayn al-Azizi wa Zimami wa Hamid al-Sadi wa Shiami.
Zeba Jaffrey, how did it feel for your students in this season to be performing together with Christians and Jews in a big mixed audience? Was that a welcome embrace for them, particularly this year, or did it have special meaning?
It did. We did it last year, and when I told them about, you know, doing it again this year, they were very, very excited, and, you know, some of them could not come, but I remember the youth group sending messages to all the children saying that, you know, especially at this time of the year, we should all make it a point to be there because we want everyone to know that, you know, we feel the way everyone is feeling, you know, after this horrible event. So they were very happy to be a part of it.
And, of course, this was during Ramadan for your students.
Absolutely. This was right in the middle of Ramadan. And
and at 4 p.m. in the afternoon, so they must have been hungry.
Yeah, they were hungry, but we were lucky to break our fast just before our performance.
I've got to ask you, Zeba Jaffrey, how it felt to have the students participating in a musical concert. Music is not part of Islamic religious expression. In fact, it's forbidden. You don't have a sacred music tradition. Mm-hmm. Did you hear the children talking about that? Do they envy these kids who get to sing and kick up their heels as part of a religious tradition? Or how does it look from Islamic eyes looking into sharing this musical experience?
Right. No, I'm sure it is difficult for the kids, but music, in a way, is prohibited. And obviously, you know, some people take it to the extreme. They don't listen to music. They don't do anything to do with music.
Of course, there's a very strong musical tradition in the Islamic world.
Yeah, exactly. So that's what I'm saying. It is, it's obviously not religious at all. Music is not religious.
You know, I have to say, listening to the children recite their chants, there is a little subtle, sneaking musicality here in these chants. I can't help but enjoy this sort of musical texture to the beautiful way in which they chant.
Exactly. It is beautiful. It was without any instrument. Just the verses and the flow of the words come along very well.
Allahu, 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 Allah, Allah. Allah.
Ron Knutson, I want to put it to you as well. I mean, this is a season where we want to be just as candid as we can be about these relationships between different groups, the beauty of the relationships and the difficulty for you, a lifelong musician, to be throwing your arms around a tradition that explicitly forbids music. Must be an awkward feeling at moments.
Well, I wouldn't say it was awkward for me. I think it was a very welcome experience. It's a way of getting to know a culture and people that I have never had the opportunity to know before. And our purpose in doing this is not to have them come and do what we want them to do, but to do what they do. So I think it's really not a difficult thing at all. The hardest part is getting people together on time.
Ziba Jeffrey, there you hear a full and open embrace.
Yeah, I agree totally with Ron that it's, you know, doing whatever everyone has to do. That's a big part of what the concert was about. So that was wonderful.
Ziba Jeffrey, thank you very much
You're
for joining
very welcome.
Us.
Welcome. Thank you.
Allahu, 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 Allah, Allah.
Adrian Hartzell, let's go on down through the children's portion of the concert. After we heard the Islamic prayers and poems, we came to quite a different feeling. Happy Birthday World. Tell me about this song.
Well, Happy Birthday World is really not just about the holidays. It's about, you know, loving our environment and the entire world. And the kids sang this song for the first time this year in a large group. And we had, for the first time, an orchestral arrangement put with it, as it was just written as a simple children's song previously.
Joined now by a couple of the teachers who helped prepare the children for their performances in the concert this year. Rose Holland is a music teacher at the Trotter School in Dorchester, Massachusetts. We're also joined by Catherine Denny, a music teacher at the Burr School in Newton. Rose Holland, tell us a little bit about the preparation you did for the concert with the students and how you saw the special sentiments of this difficult season in their work and preparation.
I do believe that music helps children to forget about some of the horrible things, especially beautiful music like Here in My House and Happy Birthday World.
Mm-hmm.
The children were concentrating on performance more than anything else.
Rose, take us into the children's minds a little bit. You spend a lot of time with them, quite apart from the music. Did you see evidence this fall of the children's awareness of what's going on? Did you see reaction from them to the difficulties that the United States and the world have faced this fall in your day-to-day interaction with them at school?
Well, actually, we had one little boy lose his father in one of the air flights.
Oh.
So we had a special program to honor Mr. Sanchez.
Mm.
And one of the pods collected money, and they gave the little boy a scholarship. So the children were very much involved in planning that and raising the funds and singing the songs. So they also learned that they love being an American, and they feel badly for the children in Afghanistan. And, you know, they do talk about it. But when they start singing, they seem to forget about everything else.
Catherine Denny, how about in your interactions with children at the Burr School? What kind of
signs, what evidence, what comments have you overheard or questions that would give us an insight into how the children are thinking behind those cherubic faces singing the songs? What's going on in those minds?
Well, the message that I've received from the children is that it's much easier to do something than to do nothing. And faced with the kind of world that we're seeing right now, you can either be despondent and depressed and upset, or you can really be active and make a difference. And I think my students see music as a way to do that, to get involved and to contribute something positive.
Catherine Denny, talk to us for a minute about Eileen Shader's song, Here in My House. This is a song I know from my own children growing up and singing it, and I have to admit, listening to the music from your concert, it always brings a little emotion, even tear to my eye. But it's a song that really speaks to the reality of people from different religious faiths living side by side. Can you give us a little bit of the verse from that song and the sentiment of it?
Yes, the first verse says, "Here in my house there are candles burning bright, one for every night of the holiday. We gather with friends, sharing gifts and happy times. Happy Hanukkah." And then there's another melody that says, "And in my neighbor's house, the lights are shining too, red and green and blue around the door, the sound of jingle bells and laughter everywhere. Merry Christmas," and many more. Then the two melodies, one about Hanukkah and one about Christmas, combine so that they're sung at the same time. And it's really a symbolic gesture of unity and diversity in our communities, in our neighborhoods.
A beautiful, beautiful song. Catherine Denny, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
And Rose Holland, thank you for being with us.
Oh, you're welcome.
We're joined now by Eileen Shader, composer of both Happy Birthday World and Here in My House. Eileen Shader, welcome.
Thank you very much.
I am personally happy to meet you. I mentioned to our other guests, my own children have sung this song, Here in My House, for years. It's meant a lot to us living in a multicultural community. I think into the whole community in terms of pulling it together and giving it this beautiful frame of mutual understanding. Tell us about the original inspiration for this song.
Well, it was in 1969 or 1970. The music teacher at the Bowen Elementary School in Newton wanted a song that would be comparable to the 12 Days of Christmas. And she asked me if I would write something about the 8 days of Hanukkah.
Uh-huh.
Well, it didn't happen. And what happened was this song that combined Christmas and Hanukkah.
Eileen, how did you make that jump from writing a song about Hanukkah to making one that spanned two religions? And what's your own background that let you hit the nail on the head so beautifully?
Well, I'm Jewish. I've always lived in communities that probably were Christian-dominated, I would say, and yet maybe not so much in Newton. But I certainly learned to appreciate a diverse world, and I just thought it would be a nice idea to have this kind of a song.
It worked out beautifully, and Here in My House. Were you at the concert to hear it this time?
Yes, I was. It was wonderful.
Well, I hope you felt appropriately proud. I mean, this is a song that now, after September 11th, we rise to the spirit of this song in its mutual acceptance more than ever.
Well, it's exciting and unexpected to be included in this spirit.
On a personal note, we know you're wrestling with yet another issue in this season. You shared with us that you've got a battle with cancer going on, with a central nervous system lymphoma, and we know you're winning and you're going to win, but it makes us root for you all the more looking at the gift that you give us in this song in this season, Eileen Shader.
Thank you very much.
Ron Knutson, did you have a chance to get a feeling for the children's self-awareness in the concert this year? I mean, third to fifth graders, they don't have to take the whole burden of the world on their shoulders or be aware at every moment, and yet children cannot help but have been part of the tragedy and trauma that affected us this fall. Could you see that reflected in their chatter with one another, in the kind of questions about the songs, in their attitudes?
Well, I think that you've already said it, there's a general excitement and need for self-expression. And the kids, as compared to the previous year when we did this type of program, when they were, I thought, very demonstrative and very good to work with and listen to, this year they seemed even more so. And I'm sure it's not a matter of them having been told or anything. I think it's just a matter of what's in the air these days after what has happened. And everyone is stimulated by this.
It made the conductor's job a little easier even.
Well, when it comes down to the concert, everybody perks up anyhow, but they really perked up this year.
We'll have more of the holiday concert after a short break. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is special coverage from WBUR Boston.
From Bob.
This is special coverage from WBUR Boston. I'm Tom Ashbrook. Christmas Day this year, we're presenting to you a special holiday concert of the Newton Philharmonia Orchestra, the Newton Choral Society, and several children's groups. The concert was performed on December 9th at the First Baptist Church in Newton Center, Massachusetts. In its second year, it celebrated the music of Christmas and Hanukkah, along with Ramadan chants and prayers, to build bridges and learn about other cultures. The events of September 11th made this year's concert extra significant. the studio is the New Philharmonia Orchestra's executive director, Adrian Hartzell, and conductor, Ronald Knudsen. Ron Knudsen, I want to ask you, in the midst of these beautiful, touching, really children's songs by Aline Shader, you had Dona Nobis Pacem. This is from the Latin tradition, obviously, much more austere. How do the children perform it?
Well, it's quite exciting with the two schools together. Actually, there were three schools at the time. But they sing it with great verve and great understanding because there is very little text except for the title, and it's very meaningful, praying for peace. And the choruses, the various schools, one would sing a section of it, another one would sing another section of it, and then they would sing it together sort of in counterpoint, and very exciting to hear, and the kids really get into it.
It's a beautiful call for peace.
Yeah, it really is. We've heard them sing it before, but I think there again, they sang it even stronger this year.
In English, straight out, "Let There Be Peace on Earth."
That's right.
Adrian Hartzell, when you heard that finale, that concluding song, could you feel the audience leaning into it this year?
Absolutely. People really just sort of exploding with emotion and contribution. The words to this, again, were in the program, and people joined in the singing, and it was a tremendous high, I think, for everyone. I mean, the program was received incredibly well, and I think to end on those spirits was really the way the world should be.
Describe to us the scene in the church, the First Baptist Church in Newton. At the end of the concert, everyone, the music stopped and everyone stood up. And what was the emotion in the
church? Well, there was great cheering, first of all. And then we had these 225 performers all in this beautiful sanctuary.
And of course, it's parents and relatives and just an audience that includes Christians and Jews and Muslims, all down the pews.
All down the pews. The place was packed. And it was relative bedlam, actually, and it was great excitement and, I think, great joy, and everybody had really a fabulous time.
Well, was there an awareness of the moment of harmony that was reached there? Did you see people reaching out across cultural lines around Knudsen?
I think so.
Yes.
Particularly after we finished, I turned around and looked at the audience, and a lot of people were just standing there as though they were in deep thought, and they lingered for a long time. It was really quite a thing to behold, because they would slowly turn to someone else, family or friend or stranger, and start to talk about whatever had come into their minds through this whole program. And it was really very inspiring, I thought.
Ron Knudsen, you've spent a lifetime in music. You're with the Boston Symphony for 35 years. You've done great work here. In a season like this one, where a tragic event and a traumatic aftermath has touched everyone, more than touched them, has really bowled people over and beaten some people down and led to many deaths, do you feel that special obligation and opportunity that music opens up as a conductor and musician, that you somehow have to help people break through to another level? Did you feel it on the day of this concert?
Yes, I did, and other music that I produce or play or since 9/11, I definitely feel that this is a real opportunity for music to do what it really can do best, and that is to reach out to people, not with words, but with sounds, and therefore stimulate emotions and individual thoughts according to what each person's need might be. It's always been important to me, but I think after 9/11, I regard it as a real opportunity to be able to do something beyond just playing the music.
Concert, you had the traditional Christmas carols.
That's right.
Which are traditionally joyous and in many ways light. Was that a reach this year, or were people ready to stand up and celebrate with that kind of spirit when it came to the classics?
Well, I think people were ready to stand up and celebrate. I got that feeling from the audience that they were really ready to sing. Some of the songs they knew better than others, but we did it as a general sing-along. And there was a lot of audience participation. I get the feeling all around us in society that people are, they want things to settle down, they want to return to, quote, normalcy, and they want to be able to sing full voice and feel good about that. And this was the first place in the concert that that really came to be true, I think. Mm-hmm. And
people stood up and took advantage of the opportunity.
I think so. They were ready to sort of cut loose a little bit and enjoy the moment.
Congratulate you both on making it happen. Ron Knutson and Adrian Hartzell, thanks very much for being with us today and sharing this beautiful music.
No, thank you.
Thanks very much.
Adrian Hartzell is executive director of the New Philharmonia Orchestra in Newton, Massachusetts. She was joined by the Philharmonia's conductor, Ronald Knutson. For more information on the Newton Philharmonia Orchestra and the Newton Choral Society, and to hear the music of December 9th concert in its entirety, go to our website at wbur.org and click on Special Coverage. I'm Tom Ashbrook. You're listening to Special Coverage from WBUR, Boston. Merry Christmas.